Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, friends, and welcome again to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. This is Pastor Paul White. Happy to have you with me today. It's Monday, and the Monday edition of this broadcast is going out by radio to many of you, either in the morning or in the afternoon, wherever you might be. Hope we either get you to work or get you home. It's also going out by podcast and on our website, paulwhiteministries.org. So there's people all over the world that are listening in, and we're glad to have you for another week. Every day here on Deeper Daily, we take you about 15 minutes, a little deeper into the Word of God. And we are starting the final week of the month of July. And on this final week, we're going to bring to you a recent Wednesday evening Bible study that deals with what I call one of the scary scriptures. Now, what that means is not that any of the scriptures are particularly frightening, but because of misinterpretation or taking text out of its context, sometimes we are left with the impression that some scriptures should frighten us. This is from the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where the author tells us that if we sin willfully after we come to the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but that we, at that point, can fearfully expect a certain fiery judgment. And those scriptures have caused a lot of people to believe that if they sin, knowing that they're sinning, that they have no chance of being saved, they must not even be a Christian, and that they can expect the hand of God to come rapidly down upon them. We address this using as a backdrop the entire 10th chapter of Hebrews. That's putting the text within its context. What was the author meaning, and why were they writing what they were writing? This was about 54, 55 minutes long, somewhere in that nature, so it'll take us all week long to air it. We'll jump back in every day, say very little, and just get into the teaching. So let's get going now from the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Listen at the end of the program each day for how you can get a copy of Stop Fearfully Expecting Judgment.
We're going to jump right into the New Covenant tonight, and Hebrews 10 is a chapter that probably, if you could encapsulate the New Covenant in one chapter. I'm not saying it's the one that does it the best, but it's one that does it about as good as any other chapter in the New Covenant. Hebrews 10 is probably worth its own in-depth series where you just dug through the truths that are laid out in that chapter. We're not going to do that tonight. That would take a long, long time. But for your own personal study, I'd highly recommend you start at the top of that chapter and just slowly, you don't have to go fast, just slowly work your way through. Let the Holy Spirit pull out some of those great truths. What you're going to see from the very outset is, and you'll hear me say this is Paul writing a lot. I say that through every time I quote Hebrews. We can't prove it's Paul, but we can't prove it's not. So we don't know who it is. So we give it to Paul because it's very Paul-like. We call it very Pauline. He writes as a man who perfectly understands the law. It's very much like Paul. But who also perfectly understands that the revelation of grace trumps the revelation of law. And Hebrews is full of that. And in Hebrews 10, you're going to find that the author opens that chapter. And of course, he wasn't writing chapter 10 when he or she wrote it. But when they broke it into chapters, you're going to find a swift comparison of the sacrificial system. If there's anything you need to remember when you're in Hebrews 10, that the backdrop to Hebrews 10 is the sacrificial system. And what I mean by that is burnt offerings and peace offerings and trespass offerings and wave offerings. All of the offerings of Leviticus are the backdrop to Hebrews 10, with the author trying to show you that if those offerings could clean you up, take away your sin, purge you from all filth, then you would only need to offer them one time. You wouldn't need to come back and offer them again. But the very fact that you had to come back and offer them again caused you to have a sin consciousness, which caused you to realize your imperfection. And this is where Hebrews 10 flies in the face of a lot of modern New Covenant preaching. A lot of modern New Covenant preaching says the only way to get people to see Jesus is to show them their sin. The more you know you're a sinner, the more you'll need Jesus. Actually, the author of Hebrews 10 says the more you see your sin, the more guilty you feel, the more you realize you're a sinner, and the more condemnation you come under. And then you begin to live by your conscience. And your conscience has never been a good guide. So why steer after something that will lead you further from where you want to go? That's Hebrews 10. That's the background. And then comes what I always call scary scriptures. You've heard me do brief little series on scary scriptures where we take a verse and show you one that makes people kind of lose their breath. You know, they're reading it and go, oh no, I don't know what to do with this. And then there's panic that sets in. And you know how quick we are that though being trained and taught in New Covenant, we'll come across a scripture that throws our, my dad used to say, turns your apple cart over. Which was just a statement that meant, kind of made you uneasy. And he used to say, don't worry, if I just turned your apple cart over, be patient, I'll help you put the apples back on the cart. I try to do that too. We'll try to help you put the apples back on the cart. But you know what? You'll read a verse, you're really confident, you're growing in grace and New Covenant, you'll read a verse and all of a sudden, everything's derailed. And you're like, oh no, the whole message falls apart because could it be that we don't understand that verse? Could it be that we need to go a little deeper? How can a whole covenant rise and fall on one verse? Surely there must be something about it that's messed us up. Let me use that completely. That's the intro. Let's look at text. All right? We'll let the text speak for itself. Hebrews 10, 26, 27. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And these are rough. You read Hebrews 10, 26, 27 and say, well, according to the text, if I go out and willfully sin, that means I'd sinned and I knew it was wrong, then I'm done. I mean, according to this text, I'm done. There's no more sacrifice for my sin. What I should expect on the other side of that failure is fearful judgment and fiery indignation. So I want to title this tonight, Stop Fearfully Expecting Judgment. You say, well, Pastor, how can I stop fearfully expecting judgment? I know when I sin. Nobody made me sin. I know I sin, so it must have been a willful sin. And so if I willfully sin, then the text says that I can expect judgment. Now, look with me at verse 26. If we sin willfully, do you remember a few months ago, We did some teaching from Romans 6, and I believe that this was the message. And I always try to reference titles in case you're curious. You want to go back and find them. But I think it was a tale of two doctrines. We're dealing in Romans 6, and we talked about the way that believers can live. You can either live under sin unto death or righteousness unto life. And in that message, we dealt with sin as a noun, sin as a verb. Most of Romans 6 is sin as a noun, with the exception of one verse. Shall we sin since we're no longer under law but under grace? There was your verb. Shall we go ahead and commit sin? Every other time it's a noun meaning sin as a thing. The nature of sin. Sin as a curse. Not sin as an act. Sin as a curse. When you get to Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin, this is a verb. If we commit a sin, this has nothing to do with the sin nature, has nothing to do with your old man, has nothing to do with sin as a curse on this earth, but your individual act. Notice that we have isolated an act. There's something that I can do willfully after I've received the knowledge of the truth. And if I do it, then there's no more sacrifice for sin. So sinning willfully is definitely referring to a specific sin because it's an action. It's not just a thing. It's something I do. But can we throw every single sin that is possible to commit into this verse? Because if we can, then anytime you sin and you knew you were sinning, you're done. Right? I mean, you're finished because the thing that you can expect is fearful judgment, fiery indignation. Now, how many of you are ready to just go home with that as the message for Wednesday night? That was exciting and encouraging, right? So anytime I mess up, Pastor said we can just expect fiery indignation. That's, well, praise God, I'm glad I came. Right? No, I don't think so. We can do a little bit better than that because the New Covenant does a whole lot better than that. Let's take it within context, find out what this text is talking about. Let me give you a couple blanket statements that kind of get your spiritual engine revving, get you ready for what I believe the Lord has a fantastic piece of information for us tonight from His Word. And I want you to be receptive, open your ears and your hearts as always, and let's turn off the voice that yells at us and screams at us what we might have always heard or thought. Okay? I'm saying that right now because now's the time to flick that switch. Because here comes a statement that without that switch down, we step away from as Pentecostals. And that's this. God doesn't see your sin in you. God sees Jesus in you. Now, this church handled that very, very well, okay? But believe it or not, that doesn't go over well in every pulpit. In fact, a lot of people would say that people that make statements like that are what's wrong with the church. I've heard it said. People that make statements like, God doesn't see sin in you, He sees Jesus in you, are not taking sin seriously and they don't understand what Jesus did. I actually say it the other way. I don't think they take the cross seriously, and I'm sure that they don't understand what Jesus did. Because when Christ died at Calvary, the Bible gives us this blessed assurance in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He knew no sin, yet He became sin for all of us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Not in us or our works, but in Christ. Now that is not a righteousness that we take off and put on. Because Jesus didn't take off sins, put on sins, take off sins, put on sins. He was made sin. Notice He wasn't clothed in your sin. That's often mispreached. Jesus was clothed in my sin so I could be clothed in His righteousness. I'd like some text. Jesus was never clothed in your sin. Jesus was made to be sin. Jesus bore sin in His body on the tree. And Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. You need the mouth of two or three witnesses? There's three verses. You got Peter saying it once, Paul saying it twice, three different books, all New Covenant, where Jesus literally became sin at Calvary. He didn't wear it, He became it. If He became sin, guess what you are? Righteousness. Not just because, but by faith are you saved. By God's grace through faith, this not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the fact that you believed on Christ makes you righteous. If you go out and sin, now that you are righteous, God doesn't view you as a sinner, and God doesn't view sin in you and sit around and withhold from you blessing until you get that sin taken care of. If God blessed you because you had an absence of sin, God must stop blessing you when you sin. Now, if we need a biblical example, do you remember Abraham, who journeys into the land of Egypt with his beautiful wife, Sarah? And when he gets in the land of Egypt, he's scared because he knows she's so pretty that Pharaoh's going to want her in his harem. And so Abraham says, oh, well, she's not my wife. She's my sister. This pretty much guarantees that she goes to the harem. But you also know what it guarantees? The one thing Abraham really wanted. Abraham didn't want to die. He wanted to live. And he's willing to sacrifice his wife's purity so that he can be breathing in the morning. And guess who gets woke up in the middle of the night? Now, must be Abraham. Surely God wakes Abraham up in the middle of the night and says, how dare you come in here and lie? I will curse you with a curse. You better go apologize right now. No. Who gets woke up in the middle of the night? Pharaoh. And guess who it is? God, who says to him, if you don't give her back, I will curse you and your house and your lands and your people and everything for this man's sake. And Pharaoh jumps up and runs to Abraham and throws Sarah back at her and says, what in the world have you done to me? Get out!
That is all that we have time for today. You've been listening to a recent Bible study message by myself, Pastor Paul White. It's titled, Stop Fearfully Expecting Judgment. If you would like a copy of this sermon on CD, approximately 54 minutes in length, uninterrupted, it's yours, simply for the asking. Contact us here at the ministry and ask for the title, Stop Fearfully Expecting Judgment. That's a special for our iTunes or our radio listeners that you can get this sermon free of charge. Stop fearfully expecting judgment. Until next time, this is Pastor Paul White. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.